to the Superhuman channel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and listen to classic episodes of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Listen Now button.
You're listening to the Superhuman channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. During the first hour, we have another episode of Ask the Expert. The two of last month's Ask the Experts ended up in the top five downloaded shows, with one of them with 50,000 plus downloads and the other one with like 47,000 plus downloads, with the man who's on during the first hour today, and that's Rob Regish. During the second hour, we will have plastic surgeon extraordinaire Dr. Mark Salzman on, talking about plastic surgery specifically for men. If you spent any period of your life as a fat ass, as I did, you know that loose hanging skin is not fun. We're going to be talking about those types of things later in the show. Just want to remind everybody, AgeForce, the only company in the world that has a transdermal patch delivery system that delivers the peptide portion of growth hormone known for its lipolytic effects, known as TYR, somatostatin, or AOD9604, is running a buy one, get one free just in time for you to use them to help get yourself into beach body ready shape. Use these patches to give yourself the edge and burn fat even while you sleep. These are non-stimulating, by the way, folks. No stimulant. You can put the patch on and go to bed and sleep fine. But your body is working all night long, releasing fat and using it for energy. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today and get started. Okay, Rob Regish, what do you think about that? Two of your shows last month, one over 50,000, and one just under 50,000 in the top five downloaded shows for the month.
That was news to me. That's great news. I'm glad people find it of benefit. I hear all the time that people are getting a lot out of it, and that's why we put a lot into it.
You know, I really, I got to tell you the moment that I really became fond of you. I wish I had some, like, romantic music to play right now. And we were doing a Dr. Connolly show. It was the first time I actually had you on the air. And it was you and Rob Wolf. And Rob was talking about, we were talking about like intelligence and nutrition and all that other stuff. And Rob told the story about when he traveled to some far off country. I don't remember where it was, Madagascar or something, that they have monkeys there, that they catch the monkeys because they put food in a jar. The monkey reaches in, grabs the food, refuses to release the food, and gets his hand stuck in the jar. Do you remember that?
I do.
And I just remember you saying something like, well, I've never been to any place as exotic as that. And I don't know anything about monkeys. You said
it was, I haven't been outside of Agawam, Mass all that much.
Yeah. And I really laughed. And I thought, you know, this guy's a really down-to-earth guy. I really like this guy.
You got to tell it like it is.
So have you had any encounters with monkeys since that interview?
No. Thank God. Thank God.
Anyway, okay. And you know what? I want to go ahead and make an announcement right now, too. I was going to do this towards the end of the interview, but it's worth saying right now. Rob Regish is available for one-on-one training. For those of you who live in the what part of Massachusetts are you in?
Central Massachusetts, right outside Springfield. It's right on the border with Connecticut and Massachusetts. So those of you folks that are, you know, in and around this area, and you're interested in getting some personal one-on-one attention, questions answered.
Reach out to Rob on Facebook. Is that the best way to reach you?
Yeah, you know, you can reach me on Facebook. You can email me at rsrmusclemass@gmail.
You'll do full hour and half hour training sessions. And if it's a group of you guys or gals, if you have, you know, a few people who all want to go in, Rob can also work with you on some group session rates as well. This is a fantastic opportunity to get the guy who wrote the book, The Blueprint, to actually put his hands on your workout, watch your form, and help shuttle you to faster progress. Take advantage of this if you live in the area. It's a wonderful opportunity. No, there you go. Okay, we have lots of questions to answer, don't we?
We do, and I'll start, if I may, with Chris May. He had a question. He'd like me to touch on glucose disposal agents. Are they worth the cost, or is it just hype? First things first, I think, you know, we need to be honest with people. There's nothing out there that's going to blow you up like insulin.
Right.
Now, having said that, I do think that these products hold a lot of merit for a couple of reasons, the first of which is, you know, glucose sensitivity, or insulin sensitivity, rather, is an issue in our society today. You got Syndrome X out there, which is essentially just that, a problem with the body handling glucose and storing it as glycogen. So, having said that, when I sat down to write the Blueprint 3.0, I put a glucometer to myself and ran the numbers, and I think that's important for everybody to do, because knowing your blood sugar is in a good way is just as important as knowing your blood pressure. That's an important health marker. So, long story short, I tested several OTC glucose disposal agents and found the following to be of merit. RALA, alpha-lipoic acid.
Oh, always been. And you know what? Millions of dollars of research spent by BASF, they were going to introduce it as a diabetes drug until they found out that because it was naturally occurring, they couldn't. And then they abandoned it, even though it worked.
Right. So that one's out there, you know, at your fingertips today. 4-hydroxy-L-isoleucine from fenugreek.
Right.
Is actually another very good glucose disposal agent that helped me out quite a bit on the numbers. And in your kitchen cupboard today, there's likely another one.
Cinnamon.
That being cinnamon.
Yeah.
You know, a teaspoon with every meal does seem to go a long way.
So that's my question. With every meal, before every meal, don't you have to take it like minutes before, you know, 10 minutes before?
I don't overthink all this stuff. Yeah. I just take a teaspoon with every meal.
It's just been my understanding of glucose disposal agents like that.
Yeah.
That are not, you know, pharmacologically altered to be delivered and stay in the bloodstream, blah, blah, blah. Like glucophage, for instance, or metformin. That you've got to take them 10 to 15 minutes before the meal, so they are already present in the bloodstream when the food starts making it into the bloodstream.
Well, all I can offer is my experience with the glucometer, which was very revealing. I mean, I took it right alongside an intra-workout drink. So you may have a point there, because the intra-workout gets into the system really, really fast. And I don't know if the other stuff lagged or what, but whatever it was, when that combination was taken, my blood sugar was lower. So theoretically, more of that glucose is being stored as glycogen than it otherwise would be when I was not taking those glucose disposal agents. And, you know, subjectively, you're going to have a feeling of fullness to the muscle that you otherwise wouldn't have to know if your glucose disposal agents are working. Again, nothing as profound as insulin, but, you know, it's important. And it's not just important from an aesthetic point of view or a performance point of view, but as a health marker, it's extremely important in aging successfully.
Okay, with RALA, 100 milligrams with or right before a meal, or do you need more than that?
100 milligrams is the typical dose that you'll see. It's likely, depending upon whose research you read, about twice as effective as the mixed R and L isomers of traditional alpha-lipoic acid.
Right, right.
But I would start at 100 milligrams and no more than, let's say, 200 per meal.
Okay. Okay, next question.
Next question was from Joey Gleason. He's saying, I really love these episodes. Any thoughts on training splits? Currently, he's using a push-pull press and a leg day with 12 to 16 sets for the day. Carl mentioned he's on an upper-lower body split. So the real question is one very intense day of training per body part, can that be as effective as two less intense days? First, the push-pull is an ideal split for the more advanced trainee. It's going to allow them to focus more intensely on the respective muscle groups and facilitate greater recovery between sessions. To answer the question about one very intense day, if that can be more effective than two less intense days, absolutely. Why? Of all the fundamental variables that go into muscle growth, intensity, volume, and frequency, those are always your fundamentals. Intensity is by far the most important. So my recommendation to you, Joey, would be this. the 12 to 16 sets of legs and back is a tall order for anybody that's really working those movements hard. I would pare back the number of training sessions to have more intense sessions versus less intense ones more frequently, and concurrently for the next 3 weeks, cut that 12 to 16 set volume down, cut it in half, and focus on really ratcheting up the intensity. Almost always when a trainee jacks up the intensity, lowers the volume, and spaces the workouts out a little farther to let the body grow, boom. Within 3 weeks, Joe, I'm willing to bet you're going to see some pleasant results.
I'd like to ask you a question for my own edification. When you say ratchet up the intensity, are you talking about increasing weight or increasing reps?
You can do it either of those ways. It really depends on the trainee's goal. If they're looking for hypertrophy, I would stick with a lower weight and get more density in your workouts. In other words, I would structure that workout kind of what you're doing today, Carl, 15 to 20 minute time periods, antagonistic muscle groups, let's say chest and back, and getting as many reps as you can by supersetting those two exercises, resting 2 minutes, supersetting those two exercises, resting 2 minutes, total up the number of reps in 20 minutes, and then there's your baseline. From there, your sole objective for the next workout is to get more reps, more total reps in those 20 minutes with the same amount of weight. And now, that is a physiological trigger for hypertrophy or muscle growth.
I've changed. I'm doing a split now where I do legs on day one, generally a day off, chest and shoulders day three, day off, back day five, day off, and then arms, and then starting all over again. But I'm taking additional rest periods as I need it. And interestingly enough, and this is something I just like to throw out there, you don't have to make everything fit into a 7-day work week. Right now, I trained back this morning, and the only thing I left out of my back routine from the last time I trained it was heavy rack pulls, because I feel like I want to take a week off of those a cycle off of those before I go back in and deadlift. And I looked and I trained my back 10 days ago. So I'm abandoning this notion that everything's got to fit into 7 days. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think any fixed training frequency in the 7-day period, it will ultimately fail with time. Why? As you grow stronger from workout to workout, and you should be, you're lifting more weight for more repetitions, right? So it logically follows then that the stresses increase on the body. At some point, that fixed training frequency with set number of rest days is going to have you running in the red. In other words, you're going to need to give your body some additional time off in between workouts to allow it to supercompensate and grow larger and stronger.
Yeah, Metzner and what's his name, the guy who started Nautilus, they said this: the stronger you get, the more rest you need, because the greater inroads into damaging the muscles you make with each and every workout.
It's difficult to wrap your head around, but it's true. It's not the notes that make the music. It's the spaces in between.
Yeah, I love that. I know you. I remember the first time you said that. I thought that was very, 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 very intelligent. All right, let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up. We're talking with Rob Regish today, author of The Blueprint. If you don't already have your copy of The Blueprint, what are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad and get started to increasing strength and muscle size very, very efficiently, very, very quickly. We'll be right back.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER. Today. today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ecdysterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy-to-maintain gains. Go to ironmaglabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Hey, do you have a product or service that you think would appeal to the Superhuman Radio audience? Advertising on Superhuman Radio is very, very inexpensive. You can get started for under $550 and reach tens of thousands of people, like-minded people, with your message. Email me at onair@superhumanradio.com if you want more information about rates and programs. We're talking with Rob Regish, and we are doing a segment of Ask the Expert, and we have questions from many of you that we will do our best to answer today. Who's next, Rob?
Brian Recker wrote, and my heart really goes out to him. He's saying here he fractured his L5 vertebrae, which resulted in the vertebrae actually moving forward into his sacrum. So he worked through his orthopedic physical therapist and rehab and so forth. He's getting back now into squats and deadlifts, but the thought of putting a bar on his back makes him cringe. He's saying here heavy squats were a big part of his fracture. What would your top three recommendations for leg work, aside from squats and deadlifts, be? So this is a great question, and, you know, I've been there. I have the solutions. I was forced to come up with these. Top of the list, no question about it, is the Iron Mind Hip Belt Squat.
Yeah.
Available at ironmind.com. While you're there, pick up the Iron Mind Hip Belt and their 15-inch Olympic loading pin. It makes loading and unloading a snap, and balancing that thing is a lot easier than using an easy curl bar or, God forbid, a barbell. It's a little awkward at first. Pick yourself up a couple of cinder blocks on the way home at Home Depot, and you're in business. You will derive all of the benefits of the axial loading of the traditional squat, but by virtue of the fact that the weight is suspended between your legs and not up on your back, There is no vertical compression of the spine. I have known guys with very serious degenerative disc disease, you know, fused discs and so forth and vertebrae. They can squat pain-free with this, and you can go heavy. That's the important thing.
I would even go to the if you're a fan of kinesiology, I would even go to the extent of saying to you that it could be therapeutic for the spinal erector muscles because they will naturally be stretching the spine.
There is a traction effect.
There you go. Proves my point. Okay, next question.
The next exercise, if your gym has it, reverse hyperextensions. it has to be said. This movement, invented by Louis Simmons, is both not only builds tremendous strength in the entire posterior chain, that being the hamstrings, glutes, and lower back, but also is very therapeutic insofar as it rotates the sacrum and pumps fluid and blood into the discs, which are notoriously slow to heal for that very reason. Blood flow is poor. So, but in the event your gym doesn't have that, and a lot of gyms don't, one of my other favorites here is the Russian step up, not with a barbell on your back, but rather with heavy dumbbells held at your side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to be a lot, that's going to take a lot of pressure off your back and is going to build a tremendous amount of hip, glute, and quadricep as well as hamstring power.
Okay.
The final recommendation I would give, believe it or not, is a top range rack pull, just the first couple inches of the movement. And the reason why this movement is on my list is you need something that's going to keep your core strong. In other words, your abs, you know, it's going to teach your abs to fire. The back, the entire body benefits this. It is a tremendous move that imparts a hardening effect to the entire body. It works your body from the back, base of your neck, all the way down to your Achilles tendon. And because the back is kept straight, and there's no trunk flexion involved, it's a very safe movement. For whatever reason, even when I've had issues with my vertebrae, I could perform heavy rack pulls and actually found them to be therapeutic. And you would think this would be, you know, not the case because there's vertical compression of the spine there. But because the trunk is not flexing, it still allows you to use heavy weight and condition your central nervous system to stay, you know, to stay sharp.
Cool. Okay.
So those would be my three recommended movements. Work those hard. I'm willing to bet you're going to see good things.
Okay.
Next up is Amir Rozek. He's saying, can you please educate people on the benefits of using my new product, Synthogen, not just for the weightlifter, but directly the benefit it can add towards high-performance athletes? This is a great question. Synthogen conveys a number of benefits to athletes, not the least of which is maximizing cellular energy pools. And here, I'm referring primarily to maximizing ATP and glycogen levels in the muscle and building up nucleotide pools. Now, that last one is something that people is probably new to folks, so a word on that. Nucleotide pools are important because as ATP demands increase during hard training, there is a corresponding decrease in total nucleotides and total pyrimidines, such as cytosine, uridine, and their phosphate-bound metabolites. So, broken down in English, problem. Depletion of these pools during exercise decreases the energy-generating capacity of muscle. Solution. Synthogen uses a compound known as orotic acid to build up nucleotide pools in muscle tissue and enhances muscle contractile force. The bottom line here, folks, is boosting nucleotide pools is just one facet of performance enhancement that Synthogen optimizes that a lot of products have overlooked. You're just not hearing about this. By increasing the levels of those nucleotides, the draw on ATP reserves to synthesize them is decreased, thereby enhancing the availability of ATP for stronger muscle contractions. You'll be able to generate greater power over a longer period of time versus your competition.
Cool.
So I'm actually hoping other companies pick up on that because I'd like to see that area of supplement science advance. Marco Stojanovic is saying here, Rob, really appreciate the response to my last question. I have another question, would love answered. He's training powerlifting style right now. He has aspirations of gigantic bowling ball shoulders. He's tried a lot of different approaches, but the shoulders have just plain sucked, he says. Do you have any suggestions? I do. two of the preferred movements here in my book are the barbell jammer press, which I think we've discussed on past episodes. But if you look for that on YouTube, you're going to see a video demonstration. Essentially what it is you jam one end of a barbell in the corner of the wall, you load up the other end of it. You can either stand or get on one knee and grab the tip of the loaded portion of the barbell and push up and away from your body. It is a fantastic movement because it works all three heads of the shoulder, the rear, medial, and front delt. As the weight moves forward, the stresses are passed to those parts of the muscle. The other movement I favor here is something known as the Bradford press. You can also find that on YouTube. Essentially what it is you would have a barbell behind your neck, as you would see in the seated overhead press, and it's brought up to a point just above the head and brought down to a point round about the front of your throat, and then you would repeat that motion. The Bradford press is something that, like the barbell jammer press, works all three heads of the delts. Very efficient movement. Performed for higher reps with shorter rest periods in between sets, it's the perfect complement to the barbell jammer press where you're doing your heavy pushing work. Now, one caveat I'll make, and it's very important, always perform one vertical or horizontal pulling movement for every push movement for that shoulder. Doing so is going to ensure a balance, and it's going to go a long way, not only to creating that 3D look to the shoulder and give you pop-em-out muscles, I call them pop-em-out muscles, but it's going to help you avoid rotator cuff injuries that plague guys today.
And that really, there is a great deal of imbalance in the shoulder. I learned this from working with Dr. Peter Rouse when I was out there in California. I mean, my shoulders hurt, and he had me doing things for my rear delts more than anything else, and some stretching motions that actually made the pain in the front of my shoulders go away. So a lot of us, we feel the pain in the front of the shoulder, and we think that's where the problem is. It's because the shoulder itself is out of alignment.
Yeah.
Very good.
Great stuff.
Okay.
Next up is Joey Gleason. He's saying, since summer is upon us, can you expand on Marco's question and add in buys and tries work? I think you quoted on Superhuman Radio once, curls for the girls, and then said how that just doesn't work, and it's really about pull-ups and chin-ups, which after taking that advice, I can say really works. Another nugget you mentioned was weighted static hold dips, which is a great overload without the injury risk. Any other tips for summer? All right, here's the tips for big guns for summer. If you want to get in there for some specialization work, ditch the curls and focus instead on working chin-ups and dips in ED in an EET block-style fashion. In other words, you would do a set of chin-ups, preferably with an underhand close grip, and then immediately do a set of dips. Rest 2 minutes, repeat for at least 5 to 6 sets with, again, 2 minutes in between sets. It doesn't sound like a lot. It's deceiving. These sessions are brief, they are brutal, and they are highly effective on packing on slabs of meat on your upper arms.
Right.
Most trainees are going to quickly find they're relegated to using their body weight for resistance due to the shorter rest intervals. It's incredibly demanding and therefore productive. It's not uncommon, though, to add a half inch to the upper arm in about a month's time, if provided they're eating, resting, and modulating the training frequency correctly. It just works the hell out of the buys and the tries. And, again, that's because, at least in the biceps case, and this is important to point out, traditional curling movement, any curling movement, is moving the muscle, working the muscle through one joint, right, that being the elbow. Only the elbow is moving. When you perform underhand chin, you are working the muscle from origin to insertion, meaning both the shoulder and the elbow. The muscle is worked from both origin to insertion.
Okay.
And you're moving the body and the weight through space, which you've probably heard me say this before, but whenever that's the case, the central nervous system is at a much higher activation level. It's the reason why squats beat leg presses, even though you can't throw up a grand on squats unless you're Wade Johnson.
Right. No, right, exactly. And that even takes some training. Listen, we have to take a commercial break. We've got plenty of questions to answer, so stay tuned. We're talking with Rob Regish this hour. Later in the show, Dr. Mark Salzman is going to talk about plastic surgery specifically for men. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Time, 18 and life in Chino. Freud, all along it's true. Well, you see the coming day.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you don't already have a copy of the Blueprint, go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad. Do it today because I have news for you. There's a lot of new stuff going into the Blueprint that's going to be a little bit more expensive. Isn't that right, Rob?
Yeah, there's some upgrades coming out. You know, now that Synthogen is here, I'm able to work more on beefing up the Blueprint, which it's already pretty beefy. But there's some exciting new information I came across, and I'm looking forward to rolling it out.
Okay, who else has questions?
Okay, Steve Benitzkis wrote, he's saying, Rob, love the show. Have a question for you. I've seen guys doing calf raises and seated calf raises with no shoes. I mean, literally barefoot. Is there any benefit to doing it this way? He's saying he also trained his calves last Sunday, and 4 days later they're still sore. Wants to know why. So a couple things. I see no practical advantage to training barefoot for your calf work. As a matter of fact, I can see a couple of drawbacks. I think the original premise was range. You're going to have a greater range of motion. Well, you know, I'm not so convinced about that. What I can see is, you know, guys dropping plates and breaking toes and feet and some other bad stuff. I also see it greatly limiting the amount of overload.
I was just going to say that. I have a hard time doing heavy calf raises with my five fingers on. As a matter of fact, I just commented to Elisa the other day, all I had was 275 on the plates, and the balls of my feet were so painful.
Yeah, and you know, calves are already a stubborn muscle group. There's no reason to make it more difficult. Everybody should be aware anyway, the physiological trigger for muscle growth is overload. And, you know, that takes a couple different forms. One of them is heavy weights. The other one is total tonnage for a unit of time. Either way, you're going to be pretty uncomfortable doing that with no footwear on.
Now, you know, in pumping iron, Arnold does donkey calf raises with a couple people on his back, and he's barefoot. But interestingly enough, if you look, he's standing on a piece of wood that has been smoothed out over time, over thousands and thousands of reps by other people on that plank of wood. And the piece of wood has a curvature to it that the foot fits into nicely almost, unlike the diamond plate steel platform that I stand on when I have to do my calf raises. And that thing hurts the bejeevers out of my feet with my five fingers on it. I can usually do the rack with calf raises, and I don't mean bouncing. That's another thing that frustrates the hell out of me. I see guys doing seated calf raises, and they've got five 45-pound plates on the thing, and they're literally just bouncing, and they're rocking their body, and they're holding their legs, and they're bouncing up and down, and they think that they're doing calf raises. It's like, if you can't go all the way down and then all the way up, completely flex the muscle, lighten up, dude. It's not a competition.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but, you know, it's out there. With respect to his question about soreness, though, he's wondering why he's still sore 4 days later. That's usually the result of two things. Trainees will throw in static holds or, in particular, negatives, where the eccentric or the lowering of the weight is emphasized. And it can also be as a result of performing a new exercise or angle that you haven't used in a while. So Steve and I went back and forth, and sure enough, he had thrown in some static holds and negatives. So those were the culprits. Those are intensification techniques that you want to use from time to time. You don't want to use them all the time, but they are particularly good for calves because of the difficult nature of just making them grow. Ironically enough, one of the things that had these ectomorphic chicken leg genes, one of the breakthroughs for me, believe it or not, was sprinting. Sprinting up a slight incline built my calves as much as any piece, you know, weight room apparatus did.
And in my opinion about calves, number one of the reasons that the uninitiated calf suffers such trauma when you add intensification techniques and like static holds is because after you work out, after you train your biceps, you can avoid overloading your biceps. After you train your chest, you can avoid overloading your chest. But after you train your legs, especially your calves, there's no way to avoid overloading them unless you plan on walking on your hands to the car from the gym. You know, it's like your calves are going to get beat to heck yet throughout the rest of the day, going up and down stairs, walking to the car, walking here, walking. And so your calves really never get a break to truly recover the way a lot of other muscle groups do. The other thing I think about calves, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but if you want your calves to grow, you got to do something other than high reps. Your calves are laughing at you when you're doing high reps. They're like, hey, we do this all day. You run up and down stairs. What do you think that is? That's high reps.
Yeah. You know, when you're training the calves, it really is true. They're more difficult to get growing than most other body parts unless you've been blessed genetically with them. So, you know, difficult times call for difficult measures, and you need to look into the unorthodox and the radical. You know, those strength shoes that were sold years ago, I know a lot of people laughed at them, but I have to tell you, I used them.
What were they?
Essentially, it shifts all of the weight onto the ball of your foot rather than the heel. So you're running around with these. It looks like you're running around.
No heel. So in other words, they're like plyometric shoes. They have no heel, right?
roughly speaking, it transfers 9 times your body weight if you're running onto the calf muscle. Now, the first time I got these, like a fool, I went running for about a mile.
Ah!
Didn't make it to work the next day. Matter of fact, didn't even make it off the couch.
So do they build muscle? That's the question.
I have to admit, when I use them faithfully, my calves got bigger and fuller, and I attribute it directly to that shoe.
Interesting, very interesting.
So,
do we have any other questions?
Yeah, Gordon Woodward had a great one. He's saying he just realized he had a lat imbalance. All the other muscles seem symmetrical, but his right lat, which he can see under the arm in the mirror, is much bigger than the left one. He's asking what he can do to fix the imbalance. So a couple of thoughts. I answered this on Facebook, but one of the things you want to look into, Gordon, and I didn't mention on Facebook, is a neurological impingement or a neurological issue. And, you know, in my opinion, it's best to see a chiropractor for that or other specialist. But that a lot of these muscular imbalances that people see, I do believe, go back to nerve impingements. Mm-hmm. Because there was a very famous case of a wrestler many years ago, Paul Orndorff, who got dropped on his head during the match on a pile driver, squashed his vertebrae, and Paul was, had a tremendous build, but his left bicep after that just shriveled up to nothing. Why? You cut the nerve running to a muscle, and it's going to die. So I would look into that first and foremost. But secondly, in order to bring that lagging lat up, I prescribed a couple things. One, picking both a vertical and a horizontal rowing type movement, such as one-arm dumbbell rows on the horizontal plane and lat pull-downs on the vertical. And working those both in a doubling up on the number of reps for the weak side, essentially in a rest-pause fashion, such that the total exposure that the weak lat has to the volume of work is double, the weight being used is the same, so the intensity is kept the same. Right out of the gate, that should be a trigger to get that lat growing. The other day of the week, what I recommended was using those same two exercises, just working the weak side unilaterally with a maximum weight in the 2 to 3 rep range so that you can send the central nervous system a signal to that muscle that it must grow larger and stronger. So you have a volume-oriented day for hypertrophy, and you have a central nervous system day. Two workouts a week. Give that a shot for 3 weeks. I'm willing to bet you're going to come back pleasantly surprised with how that previously weak lat has now gotten much bigger and much stronger.
You know, I'll tell you something else that would be fun to do. And I actually had this conversation with Frank Zane probably about 8-9 years ago at one of the Arnolds that I attended. The optic chiasm in the brain that bridges the right eye and left eye that is responsible for binocular vision really makes it virtually impossible for us to truly judge balance and symmetry. If you want to have some fun, especially if you're a competitive bodybuilder, you want to have some fun, do a rear double bicep, do a front double bicep, and then have somebody take Photoshop and take those pictures and cut your body in half right down the middle and take the right half and copy and flip it and make a complete body out of the right half of your body and do the same thing with the left half of your body and then look at them. If they don't look identical, if all of a sudden you notice that the image on the right looks a lot smaller than the image on the left, it's because the right side of your body is smaller than the left side of your body. You do not have the balance and symmetry that you think you do. I'm going to tell you something. If more people did this as part of their contest prep, and they said, wow, you know, I never realized my left shoulder and my left lat are so much smaller than my right shoulder and right lat, so much so that the two bodies look so different. I'm just going to work on balancing that. The judges won't realize why you came in and look so much bigger. You won't have to get much bigger. You just have to balance that out. The optic chiasm will do the rest. They'll go, wow, this guy looks phenomenal. Look how big he is. It's because the optic chiasm is blending the right and left image together, and ultimately the net result is you look smaller in the brain.
Right.
And I've talked about this before. That Photoshop is a fantastic tool for bodybuilders and physique athletes of any type. I'm talking about female competitors as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, we have to take our last commercial break, and we'll be right back with more of Rob Regish. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Rob Regish this hour. Later in the show, Dr. Mark Salzman. Rob, we have another question that just came in, right?
Yeah, I just got a question from Heather Kruskamp. Great question about beta-alanine. Rob, what's the scoop on beta-alanine? What does it do, and is it worth it? You know, I found out quite a bit about beta-alanine while researching Synthogen. I came across some really interesting info. But as a refresher, Much has been made recently of beta-alanine's ability to boost muscle carnosine stores. It does so by combining with the essential amino acid L-histidine and is incorporated into muscle tissue as carnosine. The bottom line on that is it buffers your muscle's pH such that you can train longer and harder, in particular if you're working in a higher rep range, let's say 12 to 15 reps, something along those lines. But as I dug deeper into the research, I noticed something curious. All over the net, you're reading stuff about how beta-alanine is not involved in protein synthesis. I'm not so convinced. Here's why. One of the studies I read, what they did was they injected the lab animals with a RNA synthesis inhibitor, which RNA comes into play in muscle growth heavily. There are three different types. I won't go into all the intricacies, but suffice it to say, your body needs a lot of RNA to complete the assembly of a new contractile muscle protein. When they injected these animals with that RNA inhibitor, they noticed a quote-unquote enormous increase in beta-alanine uptake into the muscle. So, what does this tell us? It tells us that beta-alanine can be used as a powerful substrate starting material for RNA in the role of protein synthesis. The caveat is you need to boost both beta-alanine and muscle carnosine concentrations concurrently. Synthogen does that via orotic acid, and then on top of that layers in a healthy amount of beta-alanine to be available, freeze it up for a higher purpose, protein synthesis. There's a third benefit to having concurrently high both carnosine and beta-alanine levels. The wound healing properties of such are pretty profound in a couple of the studies that I looked up. So the bottom line is, today, in most supplements, beta-alanine exists to boost muscle carnosine stores. I think that's one-third of the equation. I think the market is missing the other two very important benefits, accelerated wound healing and beta-alanine now being in the correct environment to grow new muscle.
Cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
And you know, beta-alanine still has not caught on to the degree that it should have. I did a show about beta-alanine about 4 years ago, discussing the fact that beta-alanine was discovered at the same time Patrick Arnold introduced androstenedione. And Mark McGuire hit all those home runs. And beta-alanine was actually overshadowed by the more sexy testosterone-boosting androstenedione. Because beta-alanine may have outperformed androstenedione as a performance enhancer, but it was just an amino acid, and it wasn't that exciting to people. And ironically, I forget what Olympic game it was, but the Korean speed skating team, it's the one where they medaled 8 out of 11 events, and they were all touted as being that they were training and using beta-alanine exclusively as their magic bullet.
Yeah,
and no one paid attention.
You know, the Russians, if you look closely, to dig deep enough, the Russians were onto this in the year 1900 when they were looking into carnosine. And their research, subsequent research in the 1960s on orotic acid. So they were well aware of it a long time ago, too. But, yeah, I can see how it easily got overshadowed during pro-hormone hysteria, which gripped our little world in 96.
I'd like to take this opportunity to mention something. This is very self-serving. I was on the Anabolic Minds board the other day, and someone commented about Age Force's creatine beta-alanine patch and said something to the effect of, you know, it's complete BS, and, you know, and what are you thinking, Carl? And I want to go on the record as saying, first of all, that I recommended that Age Force create a creatine beta-alanine patch. And you know, what startles me about this notion, and keep in mind that I experimented with transdermal GABA a decade ago, and it works, okay? What startles me about this is that no one barks at creatine ethyl ester and crealkaline, and everybody understands that, you know what? You have to take gobs and gobs of creatine monohydrate to get enough into the bloodstream to load the muscles. We know that if you take 20 grams of creatine beta, a creatine monohydrate a day, not all 20 grams gets into the bloodstream. So that's not an argued point. And as a result, that's why creatine ethyl ester came out, because it was supposed to be more bioavailable. And crealkaline, again, another one that's more bioavailable. And even concrete, yet another one that was designed to smaller doses, more into the bloodstream. And so why is it so hard to believe that a transdermally delivered creatine has a value if it gets right into your bloodstream? Now, so for those of you out there who say, well, you know, how do we know it works? Well, first of all, transdermal science has never been argued. We can deliver nicotine. We can deliver anything under 700 Dalton easily, simply, easily. It's like it just passes through. The larger molecules, a little trickier, but still they do get in. So anything under 700 Dalton goes right into the bloodstream transdermally. Well, guess what? Creatine and beta-alanine are like 360 Dalton.
Yeah, people, you know, if you consult the Merck index on those compounds, you'll see what the molecular weight is. And like you said, if it's under a certain threshold, and even oftentimes when it's bumping right up against a threshold, a good penetration enhancer will carry it through.
And so if you take these two things, that you agree that creatine is inefficient in getting into the bloodstream, and that's why it has to be altered into these fancy molecules or dosed at 20 grams a day for 5 days to load with, and if you agree that things of a certain molecular weight are deliverable through the skin, then why is a creatine beta-alanine patch such a stretch of the imagination? I just don't understand it.
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes those things challenge the current status quo. And when people see something that is new, the knee-jerk reaction in a very skeptical market, and ours is, you know, this stuff must be bunk. And that's not always the case, you know.
That creatine beta-alanine patch is one of Age Force's best sellers. And when I mean best sellers, that the reorder rate, the cancellation rate is like zero. And it's because it works. My friend Billy Mitchell came on the show, the pilot, and said that he was using it. He couldn't believe that. Like, he's usually exhausted by a one-hour workout. He was buzzing around the gym, and that's because of the beta-alanine, in my opinion.
Yeah. Now, do you get the tingles from it, Carl?
Yes. Yeah. I'll tell you, you want to get the tingles? Put two patches on at one time, and you feel like you just did a dose of niacin.
Yeah. Now, see, I mean, that should tell you right there. That clearly the beta, you wouldn't be getting that if the beta-alanine wasn't making it in the circulation.
Yeah, it's, you know what? Again, I never even replied to the post because I thought, you know what? You do the research. If you don't understand the science behind transdermal and you don't understand that people are altering these molecules of things like creatine because it's not highly bioavailable, a lot of it is wasted in the gut, in the digestive process. So there is a value to getting it. I'll tell you the truth. An injectable creatine beta-alanine would be good too for people who want to just use like an insulin syringe and inject it. If it came in a highly purified form that you could reconstitute with some a sodium chloride solution, that's another winner. You could probably get away with doing a milliliter a day, and it'd be equivalent to the 20 grams of loading.
Yeah, I know creatine phosphate injections have been used in the past at the Olympic level.
There you go. Thank you. So I'm vindicated. So for those of you out there who laugh and go, oh, creatine beta-alanine patch, it's the stupidest thing in the world. No, I think if you did the research, you find that your statement is a little uninformed.
Final tip on creatine. Somebody asked me once what's the optimal thing to stack with it. It's not discussed much. Something called IP6, inositol hexaphosphate. IP6 is a source of phosphates that is just, if you, and this is especially holds true if you're used to working fast in between sets, it just does a magnificent job of squelching the lactic acid buildup and letting you power through those very fast, very demanding training sessions. Creatine and IP6, inositol hexaphosphate.
Cool. Hey, Rob, thanks for being on the show today.
You bet, man. Thanks for having me back, Carl.
My pleasure. Go out and get yourself a copy of the Blueprint. Go to superhumanradio.com today. Click the Blueprint banner ad. Don't waste any more time in the gym. Start making gains. We'll be right back with Dr. Mark Salzman. Let's get it up, 'cause we're not run out of time. Relationships, they seem from the start. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's also... You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart-healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent
you. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, Beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murabuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focus just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest has been on the show before. He is plastic surgeon extraordinaire, Dr. Mark Salzman. How you doing, Dr. Salzman?
Hey, Carl. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. For those of you who want to learn more about Dr. Salzman, you can go to itbecomesyou.com. Dr. Salzman, we're going to be talking about plastic surgery specifically for men. You know, I color my hair. Women have colored their hair for ages, and now men are getting with the program and saying, hey, you know, we don't have to look like dried up old fossils. We can color our hair, too. And plastic surgery for men is becoming more and more popular, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I when I first started 20 years ago, there was still kind of a social stigma to men doing things to make us look better. We just kind of aged gracefully, and like you said, you know, coloring your hair, that was for wimps. And we looked at the other side of women who did all of these things, and we thought to ourselves, over 20 years, why can't we? And that's where we are today.
And you know, I have to believe that some of this is fueled by the high rate of divorce. Men find themselves back in the dating scene, and looking and going, wow, you know, I've let myself go. I haven't taken care of my skin. I look
terrible, and I've got to go out there and compete with guys that are younger than me. I need to look better. Don't you think that has something to do with it, too?
Oh, absolutely. It's not only that, not only competing for the opposite sex, but competing in for jobs. You know, men who were let go as companies downsize, and, you know, they're 50-something years old, have had a single career their whole lives. All of a sudden, they're competing with kids out of college that are 22, and, you know, they know the employer's looking at them like they're done. And they feel like they're at the prime of their life. So looking young is all about feeling and looking kind of in an equivalent age bracket. And that's where we are.
Yeah. Now, obviously, there's another issue at hand here that is playing into this. Anybody who's spent any part of their life as an obese individual, as I did for many, many years, ends up with some loose, sagging skin. That is really not appealing, and that obviously is something that can be addressed with plastic surgery as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think we talked a little bit about that last time you and I spoke. There's lots of things we can do for the post-bariatric patient, whether they gentleman had lost it with the help of medicinals or with surgical or sub-surgical balloon-type placements or just weight loss from diet and exercise. There's going to be some skin issues that when he looks in the mirror, says, wow, I have all of the stigmata of having been large. I've got the extra skin around the waist. I've got some droopiness in the rear end. I've got my neck, you know, hanging down, my arm skin hanging off my arms. And all of those things can be addressed.
Okay, so let's start out with this. There are two classes of surgery for men, surgical and non-surgical. What are the ones that you see being the most popular right now amongst the male community?
Well, I think it depends on what year and what time of year you're talking about, but of late, as the situation with the economy has been downward, people are more apt to spend less. They still want to look better, but they're looking for the more cost-effective ways that tend to be the more non-invasive ways. So certainly if you look at the growth of non-invasive, whether it be men or women, over the last 10 years, it goes up like at a 45-degree angle, like 800% growth in the last 7 years, where it's the growth of surgery, men and women, all comers for plastic surgery, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8% in a year, depending on the year. So most of the growth in cosmetic is in the non-surgical side. Having said that, the growth of men as a percentage of all comers to us as plastic surgeons, since I started in practice, has probably doubled. You know, we've gone from 6-8% at the most 10 years ago to now in most people's practices like mine that are just purely cosmetic, it's probably 12-15% men.
Wow, that really is something. Now, so what are the go-to procedures for men? Is it their face that they address first and foremost?
Well, we do a lot more facial surgeries on men than we do tummy tucks, because you have to be a man that lost a large amount of weight, similar to what a woman would have after she'd had children, to want to have a tummy tuck. But there's lots of men, whether they've lost weight or not, who in the workforce or, like you suggested before, in divorce situations, want to look more youthful. So facial rejuvenation with facelift, which is what we would do for a man, is certainly common. Eyelid surgery for the closing in of the eyelids, the bulging of the fat around the eyes, the sad and tired look that you'd get. A man's just going to look more vivacious and more youthful if we take out some of that stigmata of aging around the eye socket itself.
What happens to the nose as we age, Dr. Salzman? I look at myself and I look at pictures of myself when I was young, and it almost looks like the cartilage in my nose continued to grow. And I notice this about a lot of men. Our noses seem to continue to grow. What's up with that?
I don't think they grow, Carl. I think that men think that they do. But I think that you lose the ligamentous and soft tissue support of the cartilaginous framework. I think the bone doesn't really change, which is the upper two-thirds of the nose. But the cartilage, which is kind of that part of the chicken that's kind of whitish but it's not hard and brown like bone, that part of the nose, which is from the one-third up to the between your eyes down to the tip, the part you can kind of wiggle, that supports the skin and the soft tissue. And as you age, because gravity being unrelented, that soft tissue envelope tends to fall off the cartilaginous framework.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's some muscle movement that also pulls the nose down. In certain ethnicities, it's quite evident. We call it a plunging tip. When the man or woman smiles, you can see the tip of their nose come down and touch their lip. You'll see that kind of in Indian people from Persia will have that. So over time, if you've, you know, 50 years of smiling and you're pulling the tip down and gravity's forcing that tip down, you're going to have cartilage that stays up and the tip that kind of falls off the nose.
And I have to believe that decades of nose picking, you know, a lot of us idly put our finger in our nose to check it or whatever. And I have to believe that that has an effect on changing the shape of the nose over time as well.
Could, but I've never thought about that, but I guess that could be true, especially if you leave it in there and pull it downward.
Yeah,
kind of like,
yeah.
Like a tissue expander.
Yeah, and we don't think about it. I mean, it's not like people go around day in and day out doing this, but just the occasional use of the finger in your nostril over decades has to change the shape of the nose, just the way braces change the direction of teeth, so to speak. So
right.
You
That's
know,
a good thought. Never thought about that.
Listen, what I want to do. I want to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to explore facelifts a little bit deeper because obviously it's a very ubiquitous term and it covers a lot of ground. There's lots of things that can be done in facial reconstruction. We're talking today with Dr. Mark Salzman. His website is itbecomesyou.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50, that's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age Force Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ectosterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy-to-maintain gains. Go to ironmaglabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Mark Salzman about plastic surgery for men. And right now we're talking about facelifts and the things that can be done to a man's face. Obviously, the term facelift covers a large area. I mean, there's things like these lunchtime lifts or whatever they call them, where it's a very, very small procedure that just kind of takes the slack out of the skin hanging from the neck, right?
Yeah, there's facelift is such a misnomer. I agree with you, Carl. There's so much misinformation out there that if I say the word facelift in my office, it immediately has a negative connotation. It immediately says to the patient, I'm so old and haggard, I need my facelifted. And they say, I don't need a full facelift, do I, Dr. Salzman? And but by that, they mean everything lifted from the chin down to the collarbone and everything up to their hairline. And so we've stopped using that word in our office because it's such a misnomer. It means so many things to different people. So we talk about what portion of the face that you're going to lift. And the common, what people would refer to as a facelift, is really a lower two-thirds face and neck lift. And in the classic operation, those are incisions that go in the hairline, around the front of the ear, around the earlobe, back in that hairless part of the cartilage, in the back of your ear, and then back into your hairline. So it's going to address everything from your cheekbone to your sagging neck to the muscles that are drooping in your neck all the way down to your collarbone. But it's not going to do the eyes, and it's not going to do the forehead or brow.
Okay. So what about, there's lots of non-surgical things that can be done for the face as well. Elisa just mentioned to me during the break to ask you about fillers and things like Botox as first lines of defense for some men.
Yeah, I mean, for men, the first thing they usually come in and ask about are the easier-to-do procedures. And those are the introduction, if you will, to cosmetic surgery for our men is toxins and fillers. And toxins are things like Botox that work by blocking the body's nerve impulse to make a muscle move. And so, for instance, the lines that are transverse in a man's forehead that might be quite deep and give him the look of like a stern, hard look. If you put a toxin in, like Botox or Dysport or Xeom, and now there's three toxins we can use, it will make that muscle relax. So that constant tension of the muscle goes away, the line that it creates perpendicular to the muscle action, so the muscle of your forehead is pulling your brow upward towards the sky and it's creating a transverse wrinkle that's parallel to the floor. So it's going to make that wrinkle less obvious. So that's a pretty common place to start. Similarly, we can put it for the what's called the 11s, the muscles in between your eyebrows that make you look stern as well. Mm-hmm. And then the muscles that go around the eye that are circular that help close the eye can make little radial pleats that are called crow's feet that emanate out from the corner of one's eye out onto the cheek. So all of those can be effaced and made less prominent with just by taking the tone and the involuntary spasm out of the muscle. And that's what Botox does.
Now,
the next thing we would do would be these fillers, like Lisa just mentioned.
Well, wait. Before we go to fillers, I want to ask you just one
okay.
bit of it. Why would you use one toxin over another? Do they act differently? Do they last different periods of time?
Well, that's a good question because plastic surgeons are just trying to figure that out for themselves. I mean, Botox has been the gold standard. It's been around the longest. The second one to come was one called Dysport, and the active ingredient, the part of Botox that makes it do what it does, is all of the same for all of these different proteins. It's the carrier protein, the protein that attaches to this little piece that actually does the job that's different. And the carrier protein for Botox is a larger piece, a larger size globule, if you will, and the one for Dysport is smaller. So the thinking for Dysport is, if you put in the same amount of whatever they say their unit is, you may have further or more distant spread for the similar amount of volume. So if there's an equivalent of units, and it's not a one-to-one, but we'll just make it simple. If it was 50 units to 30 units, and Botox went 1 3/4 inches and had an effect from one injection, the Dysport, being a smaller molecule that's going to diffuse more, may go 2 inches. So you may be able to get a more smooth look to the forehead with a toxin that diffuses better because you won't have these punctate areas of non-movement and a little bit of movement between where the shots are.
Gotcha. Okay? Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so now fillers.
There's so many of them. I mean, it's their basic fillers fall into a couple of categories. the most common ones today are made out of sugar. And a sugar filler like Restylane or Perlane or Juvederm, which is the competing brand, all are made out of something that's in our skin already called hyaluronic acid. And it's the ground substance. It's the building block of what collagen is in. And that is just a hydrator. It's like putting in a sponge that brings in water, and the water plus the sponge adds bulk.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, your body hydrolyzes or eats up, just like it would eat up sugar from a pineapple or from a grapefruit. It uses the same acid hydrolysis to eat up the sugar. And once the sugar is dissipated, the water that's it's holding on to, it likewise goes away. So you lose that efficacy of plump with sugar. There's some other fillers that we use, called calcium hydroxyl apatite, RADS, and it's not really a sugar. It's more like a rock. It's the same substance that coral's made out of, which is a rock. It happens to be the same substance that's the building block of our bones. And because it's harder to digest than sugar, it lasts longer. So RADS is more of a longer lasting. And then we get into things like methyl methacrylate, which is little spheres that are tiny, 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 30 thousandths of an inch big, and they're coated with cow protein or bovine collagen, and they're plexiglass, essentially. And our bodies can't eat up plexiglass.
Right.
So you put this foreign substance and you coat it with cow protein so the body doesn't reject it right away, and our bodies recognize that we're not cows, and it starts to make collagen or scar tissue to anchor these little beads of glass, and that provides for volume, and that volume is usually permanent because we can't digest the little pieces of plexiglass, and that compound is called Artifil. So those are the three different kind of categories. You have calcium hydroxyl apatite, you've got sugars, and you've got Artifil, which is permanent, made out of plexiglass.
Now, those are generally used on men in the what I like to call the orangutan line, which is the line that goes from the tip of the nostril down to the side of the lip or the side of the mouth. That I've developed as I've aged. It's amazing how that line is so deep, that crease is so deep. You can actually fill that, make the transition smoother, so the line disappears, right?
Yeah, there's a couple things we can do for that line. And one is to put a filler on the lip side of the line. We call that the nasolabial fold, like you just described, goes from the nose to the lip. And the reason that we have it is that if you cut across there and look at it in cross-section, there's fat on the cheek side of that fold and not as much fat on the lip side. And so there's an anchoring effect of the deeper tissues that kind of peter out right at that nasolabial fold. Because we have an inherent tension of the muscles that lift the corner of our mouth, that go from the corner of our mouth up to the bone of our cheekbone, it creates that fold. And as we get older, because the fold's anchored at the bottom and kind of anchored at the top, it's like wet towels on a clothesline. You know, they just keep lengthening that clothesline.
Right.
It's the same thing as we age. That tethering point stays, and everything just kind of falls forward. So one of the things you can do is to fill it on the lip side and to efface it a little bit, or you can put some bulking agent. Now, we're not talking about fillers. We're talking about plumpers, which is a different thing, like your own fat or a product called Sculptra to help fill out the cheek, to take up the slack of where your own fat is melted away, and that pulls up the nasolabial fold, similar to what a facelift would do.
Very interesting. Now, under the heading of non-surgical procedures, there are some new procedures now if someone has a small amount of loose skin from the chin to the neck, there are things that can be done that do not require surgery, right?
Yeah, there are things. There's two levels of things that we talk about with our patients. There's completely non-invasive. There's two non-invasive modalities that I know a lot about because I've worked to develop both of them. One is done with light, and you're shooting infrared light, like the light that you'd heat up a hamburger with when you order it and sitting up under that red light.
Mm-hmm.
For 10 minutes to get warm. It's infrared. It's beyond what you can see. And you can put that light into the skin, and the way we do it, we move it back and forth. It's going to heat the inside of the skin up to about 55 degrees, 60 degrees sometimes, while a cool crystal keeps the skin from blistering at the top. And by injuring the skin, you can create the skin, the impetus for it to make its own collagen. Whenever you make collagen, you get shortening and tightening. So that's one way to do it with light. The other way to do it is with radio frequency. Radio frequency, or RF, has been around for a long time. We use it to cut in the operating room and when we tune it a different way. But in this way, we put it through a handpiece so that it's going from your face to a bovie pad or to an electrical grounding pad.
Right.
And because of the resistance of where this RF is absorbed, again, you can create intense heat, and you can actually have that heat go where you want it by having a temperature differential of what you're cooling the skin with. So if you don't cool the skin at all, you can make the skin very, very hot. If you cool the skin so the heat goes deeper, then you can make the fat very, very hot and melt some of the fat. So that's called Exilus and Skin Tight 2, or that was the first one with the light. So those are two very good modalities for completely non-invasively both shrinking fat of the face or belly or arms and for tightening the skin.
Okay, I have a question about the light version of it. This is obviously above 900 nanometers because 900, I think, is the threshold for near-infrared, right?
Right.
Okay, so this is above that 900 nanometer threshold, correct?
Yeah, it goes all the way up to about 1,400.
Okay, so is it just the thermogenic effect on the fat cells that causes the fat to expunge itself? I mean, is that what's happening here?
Well, yeah, the light one doesn't go. I've done some research for the companies, and we helped develop this one. The light doesn't go as deep as the RF. So the light, we're only getting maybe 9 millimeters into the skin. We're not getting 2.5 centimeters down where the fat is.
Right.
But for the RF, you are, and you're exactly right. For RF, what happens is you get this excitation of these molecules that heats it up. And what we think happens is pretty much what you described. We don't think there's enough heat to cause cell death.
Necrosis,
we haven't
seen
that.
Right.
Like there are some things now that are high intensity or high frequency ultrasound. Liposonics is the name of this, and it just became available in the U.S. And that's an ultrasound wave that's of enough intensity that it immediately kills the fat, but it hurts like the dickens to do this thing. This thing doesn't really hurt. It feels like a hot stone massage. But if you go and look at these patients, because this was done on tummy tuck patients, 6 to 9 days later, you'll see fat in between the fat cells, just the free-floating fat.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, so it's making these fat cells, for whatever reason, extrude their intracellular fat and put it into interstitial space. Now, when you have fat that's just hanging around like that, it's picked up by the lymph nodes, it's picked up by the lymphatics, and then there's things in the lymphatics that enzymatically digest the fat, and it becomes an energy source. So it's like ingesting a big Snickers bar when you do this thing. So what I tell my patients is, if we're going to make a Snickers bar out of your fat, you have to have some caloric deficit in order for the Snickers bar to not be metabolized by the liver and placed right back into fat. So, you know, park your car far away for the weeks that we're treating you and walk. Take the steps instead of the elevator. You know, just simple things. You know, cut down on that one cookie. Anything to make you calorically negative of where you were, enough to make up for that 300 or 400 or 500 cc's of fat or energy that you're going to get from that fat.
I'll take it even a step further. There's a great body of evidence that spot fat reduction is possible from the standpoint of the working muscles will go for fat stores closest to them for energy when there is a caloric deficit. So I would take it a step further and say that if I was doing something in the area of my neck, then I would want to actually exercise my neck periodically throughout the day to cause the muscles in my neck to demand that the local fat be utilized as energy. Because there was actually a great study done on rowers and the metabolism of fat around the shoulders. So this is really an interesting concept. We have to take a commercial break. We're going to pick it up on the other side of the break with Dr. Mark Salzman. Go to his website, itbecomesyou.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0
2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest protein bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Professor X. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody, Age Force has their buy one, get one free for their fat burner patch. Since we're talking about fat here with Dr. Salzman, this is the portion of the growth hormone peptide responsible for its lipolytic effects. It's known as TYR somatostatin or AOD9604. These are transdermally delivered through the skin to aid you in your fat loss goals. And the summer is coming, so go to superhumanradio.com and check out the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. My guest this hour is Dr. Mark Salzman, and we're talking about plastic surgery for men. Obviously, the face is a big go-to starter point, but for those of us who don't just want to look good with our clothes on, I have to believe the chest and the tummy come into play next. Am I right when it comes to guys?
Yeah, absolutely. We see a lot of men with what we call gynecomastia, especially in the weightlifting crowd.
Yes, I know. Those of us who use androgens and do not control our estrogen levels properly will see a permanent growth of breast tissue. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really common for us for a man to have a very masculine chest from a muscle point of view and then have what I call a little nubbin of fibroglandular breast tissue that makes the breast more of a female pyramidal type shape instead of being flat, and that really requires an operation to fix.
I have a cute name that I've given it on the show that I've used for the past 8 years now. You want to know what it is?
Let's hear it.
Chesticles.
I like it. It's clever, Carl. I like it.
Okay, so what can be done for gyno?
Well, what we do for that is you need to do a little liposuction to break it away from the fascia or the lining of the chest wall where it sits, And then sometimes there's some fat that's around it that you can take out. And sometimes there's quite a bit. In a non-weightlifter, there's quite a bit of fat. When it's a chubby man, that's another reason to have estrogen excess.
Right.
And then usually you can't suck out this dense white part that's sitting just below the areola, the colored skin around the nipple. So we make a little curved incision with the patient asleep under general anesthesia, and using a technique I developed with a scissor and some instrumentation, we shell out, for lack of a better term, this fibroglandular disc of breast tissue, and then we stitch everything back up. So it's about an hour-long procedure outpatient.
Okay. Now, what about the loose skin that is then left behind? You obviously had this mound of glandular material and fat that is now gone, so you have this vault. What happens to that?
Well, there's gradations of how loose the skin is. In someone who's lost a lot of weight and the nipple areolar complex is hanging, if you go to take that out the way I'm describing with an incision at the bottom, there's no way you can lift it, because if you tried to do anything to the top, it'd be floating in the breeze. There'd be no blood supply.
Right.
So for that patient, there's two methods that are used. One is to take out all the skin just as a big ellipse, like you do for a mastectomy for one with cancer, and put the nipple back in the middle as a free nipple graft. That's very rare to have to do that. Another method is to use a what we call a boomerang procedure, where the incision looks kind of like a boomerang. It goes across the chest and meets to the areola, goes up over the top of the areola, so halfway around it, and then out towards the underarm, so that you can do both things. You can take all of that tissue out that's under the areola, still have the areola attached to that upper part of the flap, and yet take out all that intervening skin so that the areola can move upward and be where it's supposed to be before it was elongated by all the stretching.
Right.
And usually we do that for men who've lost considerable amounts of weight. And if anyone's on the fence, I'll usually just do the first procedure, just a small incision, see how much intrinsic skin retraction the gentleman's going to have. Then we would add some of the things we talked about at the beginning of the hour with XLS to tighten the skin with radio frequency, or Skin Tight to tighten the skin with deep infrared heating, to see if we can do it without an additional scar, because the scar that extends out from the areola is always going to be more visible than a scar that's just at the border of where that red or brownish skin hits the more light tan skin.
Sure.
So that's the way we do it. We kind of stage it if we can, and if not, we do one of these bigger procedures, mostly in men who've lost considerable weight.
What about the tummy tucks? Are they popular with men as well now?
They are if they've got a big hanging panis, because it's sad to see a man who's underneath, the muscles are all tight, he can do sit-ups, he doesn't really have a pot belly when he stands because his intra-abdominal fat levels have been well controlled by the diet and exercise levels, yet he has this stigmata of having had a very large protuberant belly, and that's this panis or extra skin that can, you know, hang over his male organ, can be that long. So in order to get that to be more in line with how tight the underlying muscle and fascia is, we have to do a tummy tuck or remove the extra skin.
Now, does all of this stuff have to be done under anesthesia? You mentioned general anesthesia before. Is that, and I'm a neophyte to this, is general anesthesia when they knock you out, or is that when they just locally deaden the area?
Well, I use both. Every patient that I operate on all has a local anesthetic, because we like both the pain control intraoperatively of a local anesthetic plus the pain control postoperatively of having the local anesthetic there. But patients who need bigger procedures that can't be done just with numbing your brain a little bit with either a pill or a shot in an IV, most of the procedures are done with what's called an LMA in our practice. And an LMA is a little rubber thing that goes inside your mouth, and it is hooked to a machine that gives you these gases. But unlike the gases of old, these are not fat-soluble gases. So they, as soon as you turn these gases off, they're out of your system. There's no hangover effect where you feel like you're still under anesthesia a whole day later. So they're very quick to onset. A couple of breaths, you're asleep. And as soon as you're back on oxygen, you're back awake. Similar to the drugs we now give in the IV, we call it milk of amnesia, because it looks white as you put it in, and it works instantaneously, but it has no hangover. So the anesthesia of today is really, really, really
strict. Is that propofol you're talking about?
It's propofol.
Yeah, yep. Which obviously was made headlines in the news because of Michael Jackson's self-administration,
right.
Of it. Right, exactly.
I can't imagine somebody giving propofol
as a sleep aid. as a sleep aid?
I mean, yeah, to put somebody to go to sleep. I mean, it's you have to keep it running because its half-life is so short that who's watching it, you know, while he's maybe getting too much, probably what happened.
That's why you have an anesthesiologist sitting there.
Right, that's why they have all these monitors that you're monitoring patients' levels of consciousness with brainwaves and I don't think someone was doing that for him all night, watching him sleep.
No, obviously that's why he died, poor guy. Anyway, what if I'm totally opposed to anesthesia? I don't know why, but the whole notion of anesthesia is probably the only reason why I have not looked at some of these procedures for myself. If I said to you, "Look, I'm a tough guy, I can take it. Just numb me up. I'll read a book while you do this." I actually held my own toe while the doctor sewed it back on for me when I was a young man after I cut it off with a lawnmower. Would you entertain that, or would you say, look, it's not a professional of me. I couldn't do that.
Well, some operations you just can't do because you can't relax the patient. Tummy tuck, I've done tons of them under local, and you can even do them under spinal. You know, just put a little shot in your back and numb the nerve. You can be awake, talking, reading a book because all the nerves above where you're paralyzed all work. Your arms work, your face work, everything works. Right. But we'd still want you somewhat obtunded. You want it's kind of anxiety prone to be, you know, laying there and you know that someone's lifting your skin up and putting stitches in your muscle. That kind. So most of the things we do can be done under what we call local with sedation. We call it a MAC or a monitored anesthetic, where we give all of this dilute numbing medicine. But what I found was when we gave the stuff in the veins in order to keep the patient enough obtunded, especially for a man, because men fight what's called stage two of anesthesia. In stage two of anesthesia, you just have enough wherewithal to know what's happening, and men want to stay in control. They want to be in control, so they fight that stage two, and if they're stimulated, they overreact.
Mm-hmm.
And women, you say, honey, just lay here, and when you wake up, you're going to be thinner. They don't say a word. They just lay there. So men and women are different when it comes to that regard. So what we found when we had to just give IV and numbing is that the amount of IV that you had to give to keep that patient at a level where they could tolerate the anxiety of having it done under local was way greater and had much longer hangover effect than we give now, giving these fast-acting gases. So the anesthesia of today, despite the fact that it's called general, even though we're not paralyzing you, a machine's not breathing for you, but you do have some gas going into your lungs, is way better than the monitored anesthesia of old. And the thing that people really worry about is, will I have this, you know, idiosyncratic death under anesthesia? And to put it in perspective, what I tell my patients is, you're much more likely to die driving here to see me in the office than me killing you with a general anesthetic. Because all of the monitoring of what anesthesiologists have, to have an untoward event that causes death is pretty darn rare in today's world.
Yeah, and I would have to imagine that this is surgery. And before any type of surgical procedure like this, this patient has to have the green light on certain biomarkers. You know, any underlying heart issues have to be elucidated and all that sort of stuff before they even can step in and lay down on the table, right?
Well, we're still real doctors. I mean, I did a five-year general, so I'm a board-certified general surgeon. So the first thing we're assessing before we ever look at what needs you think you want addressed as a plastic surgery patient is, are you a surgical candidate? You know,
yeah, that's
like,
it.
Just like you said, heart, lungs, you know, all that stuff. If there's anything that we're the least bit concerned about, we have no problem saying to the patient, listen, Carl, we know you think you're okay from your hypertension, but we really like you to go back and see Dr. Smith, your medical doctor, and have him do a once-over on you and send us a letter that you're in the best possible shape and that you have his blessing to have a general anesthetic and have this procedure done. Because this is totally elective. Nothing that I do needs to be done. I don't do a single operation anybody needs. That's what's good about it. Everybody wants it, but nobody needs it.
Well, in rare cases, I'm sure in rare cases you have somebody that needs reconstruction, then that's something that...
I don't do that anymore. I'm talking about
really?
Just totally cosmetic surgery.
Okay.
There's nothing I do anybody needs. You can live forever with a droopy face, droopy nose, droopy breath. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's nothing functional about it.
Yeah.
You'll look better. You'll feel better. So that for those type of surgeries, because you really don't need it, you really want to make sure, that just like you suggested, that everything's optimized, that you're in the best possible health that you can be in.
This was brought to the forefront by Kanye West's mother, who went in for a plastic surgery procedure and had an underlying heart issue that was not discovered, and the poor thing, she died on the table. And, you know, so obviously this is surgery. This is not a game. All right, let's do this. We're going to take our last commercial break, and we will wrap up the interview. We're talking with Dr. Mark Salzman, and you can learn more about Dr. Salzman's practice by going to itbecomesyou.com. We'll be right back.
Dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murabuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
Bridge. Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USLWellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USLWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw: the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AgeForce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside. Round the outside.
Eminem, he doesn't need any plastic surgery, Dr. Salzman. He's in good shape. Maybe that's the answer. I should have been a rapper, and I wouldn't have this sagging skin. Anyway, okay. Here's the $64,000 question, which is really not much money in this day and age. But anyway, showing my age. Obviously, not everybody can come to Louisville to see you. A lot of people do. I know that for a fact, that people travel from far and wide to come and see you because you're so talented. How does somebody really decide if the plastic surgeon they're about to work with in their community is good? Is just adequate to have somebody say, oh, he did so-and-so's facelift and he's happy?
That's a really good question, Carl, because people probably put more time and effort into where to buy their car than,
yeah,
you know, where to have, you know, cosmetic surgery. And there's so many people out there that don't really have the training that say they're a plastic surgeon. You alluded to Kanye West's mother. I mean, that was a trained plastic surgeon who never passed his boards. So he was not board certified. So
Right. Lesson
number one is go to the American Board of Plastic Surgery and you can look it up, see if the person is a member. Do they have their boards? Because residencies in whatever you can think of, whether it's pediatrics or OBGYN, I mean, the reason we have this graded responsibility of learning is that when you get out, you can do what you're supposed to do. The problem with plastic surgery is because it's outside the realm of hospitals, it's in its own office or in surgery centers, anybody in medicine can say that they're a plastic surgeon. You do not have to be trained in
Really? Plastic
surgery. Yeah, a neurosurgeon can say tomorrow, I'm a plastic surgeon. But he can't say board certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery. So there are now all these bogus boards. And what do I mean by a bogus board? Well, the real boards are all the ones, if you ask a common person, what board do you think your gynecologist is a member of? And they say the American Board of Gynecology. Right. American Board of Surgery, American Board of Pediatrics. There's now these boards that are not part of what's called the American Board of Medical Specialties. They're self-designated boards. So there's the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery, which I don't have. I'm a pretty well-known cosmetic surgeon in the country. I'm not a member of the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery because it's not an ABMS board. It's a
Right. Bogus
board for people to look like us who have not put in the work. I had to do 5 years of general surgery and 3 years of plastic surgery after 4 years of medical school to do what I do. You simply can't learn in a weekend to be me. It's impossible. So people want to fool the public by having these bogus boards. So first of all, find out if is it a real plastic surgeon.
And the acid test is the American Board?
American Board of Plastic Surgery.
Plastic surgery.
You can just go to their website. And most good plastic surgeons are going to list it on their website. They're going to show the little thing at the bottom that says American Board of Plastic Surgery. The second thing would be look at the state medical society and make sure that they don't have any sanctions against them. You know, you have some people who were ex-drug addicts and, you know, ex-convicts and all kinds of crazy stuff in different states. And, you know, make sure the guy's or lady's a decent person. And then the fact that they have one person that came out good, that's certainly all well and good. The other nine may not have. So if you can find, if the person works outside of their own center and works in a hospital or a surgery center, you can certainly ask around and find someone who works there and get that person's reputation. You can certainly ask your medical doctor, but sometimes your medical doctor is going to give you the name, especially if you're looking for a cosmetic surgeon, of someone he or she deals with. And that person is not going to be someone like me. It's going to be someone who does reconstructive surgery. And it's not the same if you do 25% cosmetic surgery as if you do 100% cosmetic surgery.
Right.
And I have no problem asking the doctor, say, how many of these have you done? And if he says, well, you know, I do a couple of a week, a couple of them a month, you know, you're probably in good hands. If you ask, can I see some pictures of ones that you've done of similar patients that look like me? If they don't have it, I wouldn't go to that person. If you can't talk to a prior patient, who has a similar problem as you and has had an outcome that's good, certainly we're not going to give the name of someone who can't stand us and thinks we didn't do it well, but everybody has patients who had a good outcome with a similar thing that can talk about, you know, their experience. So all of those things, you know, can be researched to find someone who's good at it and at least ferret out the imitators and the wannabes.
Okay, now, so now you've done your due diligence. You've done all the right things. You found the doctor that you believe to be capable of performing the procedure that you are hiring him for. He performs the procedure. Something goes wrong. Okay, I don't mean something goes wrong like you're down on the table. I mean, you get out of the procedure and the scarring is so noticeable, or the procedure leaves you with some abnormality that clearly is a result of the procedure.
Right.
Who should pay to fix that?
Well, all of that, and here's one of my partners told me this, and he was president of our national society. He was a big on informed consent, and that is what's called informed consent. And anything you tell the patient prior to the procedure is called informed consent.
Right.
You can convey the exact same information postoperatively, and all it is an excuse. So if anyone who comes to my office, we go through every single one of those things. Here are the things that can happen. Here's how unlikely I think they are. But what people have to realize, we're not working with wood. Okay, we're working with living tissue. And everybody's response, but be it genetically or individually, can be different to the exact same operation. So even I'll have patients who whose scarring is not perfect. Then we use lasers. Well, we tell them that ahead of time. Here's the things that are possible. Here's how we fix them. Here's what I will charge for. I tell a patient right off, the number one complication of liposuction in my practice is everybody wants more liposuction. I don't care how much I take out. There's always going to be a place that the lady says, you know, you could have done better, and points to one little spot. Because as it heals, it's kind of made a new lump. So when I used to fix all of those patients for free, guess how many people had revisions of their liposuction?
Everybody.
100%, yeah. Right. So, but now you tell the patient, here's what we charge to go back and do touch-ups, so they know this much touch-up costs this. I tell them that before we ever start. So they know, God, I really think I want more. I don't know if I want the $300 or the $600 touch-up. But they've already been told that that's a possibility. So that's really all about being a good conversationalist, being, you know, confident in your presentation to the patient that you're not leaving anything out. I don't feel like any patient who leaves our office has not had unbelievable informed consent and can really say, all right, I understand the risks of this procedure, I understand what the risks are in this doctor's hands, and I'm willing to accept the economic risks and the health risk of having this done. Because
okay.
It's the same as taking an aspirin. I mean, you can die taking aspirin. If you had to list every risk of what could happen with aspirin, it'd be 32 pages long, and no one would ever take an aspirin.
Actually, yeah, I had a scientist on my show many years ago who said if aspirin was presented to the FDA today, it would never get on the market.
That may be true, because the list of things that it can cause, these idiosyncratic reactions and toxic this and gastric bleeding. I mean, there's a zillion things. And I've never read that laundry list on a bottle of Rite Aid aspirin. I just take it.
Yeah.
So,
and then this leads to that question. People with higher degrees of melanin in their skin
right,
tend to keloid when they scar. What do
you
do about
that? Well, there's two types of scars. People always say keloid, but it's very rare to see a true keloid. And almost always it's in African Americans, in African skin, really dark black skin. And a keloid is where the margins of the scar outgrow the scar. So you see a scar that looks like cauliflower when it started out as a line. That's truly a keloidal type scar.
Okay.
Rare to see that. But back of a African lady's earlobe would be the most common
right,
place. But hypertrophic scars are not uncommon. Exactly what you said. As the skin gets darker, and we have classifications from 1 to 6 for that, as you get into the 4, 5s, and 6s, but for Asians, for African Americans, light-skinned African Americans,
and even Mediterranean people like me,
Mediterranean,
I'm pretty dark.
Right, people from exactly dark eyes, dark hair, they're going to tend to make a thicker scar, and we can deal with those thicker scars with lasers, with tapes that are impregnated with corticosteroids, with corticosteroid injections, with corticosteroid creams that have silicone. There's a lot of new things on the market to help modulate hypertrophic scars.
What is it about the high content of melanin that causes that scar hypertrophy?
I don't think anybody knows why because patients who tend to have high melanin content of their skin tend to have thicker skin. And so it's the thicker skin that more likely has hypertrophic scars. On the other side of that equation is the thicker skin patients very rarely need laser resurfacing to make their skin look better.
And they look younger as they age. If you look,
look
at African-American people,
I
saw an African-American woman at the gym the other day, and she's 78 years old, and she has the skin of like a 45-year-old woman.
Right, because they don't have the sun damage. They have better protection against the sun. And when you have to fix an African-American woman's face, it's rare that it's as aggressive of a facelift as a light-skinned, green-eyed, freckle-faced lady from the British Isles who's got unbelievably skin elasticity that just she looks 50 when she's 25.
Right.
So those are the opposite ends of the spectrum. So for a black lady, sometimes we're just adding volume, just putting her own fat back to fill up her tight skin, and she looks pretty good without pulling anything at all.
That's wonderful. That really is wonderful. Dr. Salzman, I want to thank you for spending an hour with us here on the air today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Carl.
It's always a pleasure to have
you.
And look forward to seeing you soon, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so go to itbecomesyou.com to check out Dr. Mark Salzman's work. And if you are in the distance, driving distance or flying distance to the Louisville area, I will tell you that Dr. Salzman is one of the most talented and responsible plastic surgeons in America. And if you can get to work with him, you're a lucky, lucky person. I also want to thank Rob Regish for coming on the show and doing his Ask the Expert hour with us.
And we have another great show planned for you tomorrow. So we'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.